Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, I have a very interesting guest who's going to tell us that he had a visit to hell. Sounds strange, doesn't it? We're going to find out all about it. We're also going to talk about the theology of hell and how a lot of Christians, even evangelical Christians, are changing their views and how he got in some trouble with church leaders about this. You're going to hear all about it. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to my guest, Stephen Halford, who has actually been on my podcast several times and who I count as one of my closest friends. He is originally from England. He now lives in Florida. And when I found out about this, about hell, I couldn't believe it. And so I immediately invited him to be on a podcast. I knew you'd want to hear about it, too. I should probably lead up by reminding you, if you don't know, that we published a book called 23 Minutes in Hell. It's by a man named Bill Wiese. Dr. Steve Green recently did a podcast with him on the Charisma Podcast Network. You may want to look it up. I remember that book very well, back in maybe 2005, give or take. We heard about it because he had shared his testimony, so to speak, at churches. Had never really written about it. I actually flew out to California where he lived and got acquainted with him and felt that he had a lot of credibility. So we ended up publishing that book. He was a first-time author. That book sold over 1 million copies. Stephen Halford is here, and welcome to you. And maybe I should start by saying thank you for your friendship. And also, I'm eager to find out your experience, because you told me in just private conversation that it was not an awful like what Bill Wiese experienced.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was it wasn't 23 minutes in hell. It was more like 8 hours. And but I didn't die. It wasn't a death. It was I went to sleep. It was probably about 20 years ago, actually. So it's some time ago that I was in England visiting one summer. I lived in America at the time. And I went to England to each summer. I'd go there for 2 months to evangelize and lead the youth and preach on the beaches and that kind of stuff. And I went to sleep one night, and next thing I know, I'm standing in hell, and with three other people. And those three people had seemed to have been snatched out of their sleep and ended up in the same place as me. I didn't know them, but we were talking like we were real people, not just a regular dream. Whether it was a vision in the dream, whether I was actually there, I don't know. All I do know is that for me, it was the most realest thing I've ever experienced. And many people have visions where they go to heaven and they see angels. And for some reason, I see hell and saw demons.
Well, this must have been terrifying.
Actually, it wasn't terrifying at all. I didn't feel afraid, not until the end, but I'll get to that shortly.
Well, describe to us so we can visualize it. What did you see?
So for me, it wasn't so much everything I saw, although I'll talk about that. It's what I felt. And that was the huge contrast between maybe myself and Bill Wiese's vision experience. So when I went down there, it was me and three other people, and we were walking and talking with this demon. And he was a demonic figure. He was very nasty looking and hunched over. And in my early 20s, as a lot of people are in their 20s, I was full of arrogance and I was quite cocky. Hopefully the American audience understands that word. So I was very arrogant. And we were making fun of this demon like I would normally. You know, traveling, we cast demons out of people. And you know, if the demon spoke, we'd tell it to be quiet and quite arrogant at times. People just thought it was spiritual confidence. But in retrospect, I was quite arrogant. And so we were talking to this demon and we were making fun of him. We're saying, "You're nothing." And he says, I know. He's acting all subservient. But what I saw was, it was like a huge mountain, and we were walking up this mountain. I don't know if you ever read the book by Rick Joyner, and Rick Joyner discusses these mountains that he had walked up in one of his visions, and it was something similar to that. And we were walking up the mountain, And the whole time we're talking, and it was a long journey. Like, I remember when I woke up from it, it felt like I had physically been walking for hours and hours at a time. And we walked to the top of this mountain. And when we got to the top, I saw that the top of the mountain was flat, and it was cut into four sections, kind of like a Trivial Pursuit board with the little wedges. So I had like four wedges, and each wedge had two poles, vertical poles going up, that the demon was going to tie us to. Now, what I was experiencing was, it was a day trip. That's why I wasn't afraid. I knew that I wasn't going to be there forever. It was an excursion, is what the word given to us when we were down there. And so when we were down there, we heard the Lord speak to us and said, this is an excursion. You're going to experience and see things that not everybody else gets to see. So when we were there, this demon, he tied us. Now, I understand visions, and I'm not saying that hell, scripturally speaking, gives this kind of description, but this is what my experience was. And so this demon, he tied us to these posts with these huge chains around my arms and around my feet, and then the three other people, the same thing. The whole time I'm making fun of him, I'm mocking him, said, you're nothing, you're no one, you're just a demon. You know, the name of Jesus, you have to bow. I remember saying to him, there's more power in my pinky finger than there is in the whole of your entire kingdom.
But yet Jesus, he was tying you up.
He was, but we did it willingly, because he was supposed to show us the torments within hell, that this is one of the torments. And because we were there for an excursion, in the dream, in the vision, whatever it was I was having, I said to him, you know, I want to experience what people are experiencing. Obviously, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm just here for the day. And I want to see what people experience. I didn't see anybody else. I just saw us. I didn't see any other people. I didn't see any other demons at the time. And so he started tying us up.
And, you know, this makes me think of Bill Weesey's experience. He says he actually went to hell. It was in the middle of the night. He says it was 23 minutes because, of course, he apparently had a clock next to his bed. You know, to me, it was more like a vision. Mm-hmm. I never disagreed with him. I just thought, you know, that's his testimony.
Yeah.
But afterwards, he studied it for a long time, did not talk about it publicly, and really searched the scriptures. And I remember as I read the book, because he had like a whole index of all the scriptures about hell. Now, there's no one chapter about hell in the Bible or a book or anything like that. It's, you know, a scripture here, an allusion there, and a reference somewhere else, you know, fire and brimstone, things like that. And, you know, it was interesting that he documented what he saw based on scripture. And when I read it, I thought, you know, I've seen that scripture. You know, obviously, I've read through the Bible many times, but never really understood it. And I thought, yes, it could be like that. And yeah. I think that that's what attracted people. We were able to put that book in Walmart, and we sold over 100,000 copies in Walmart. And before that, a lot of the Christian bookstores and some of the other booksellers just ignored it. It was too weird.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that every year when Halloween comes around, they'll bring it out, I guess, with other books for Halloween or something. But, you know, it's very, very scriptural book. Bill Weesey, who I've known obviously for years, is a rather reserved kind of dignified kind of person, as are you. And I think that adds credibility to it. But, you know, to the average American or Brit, we don't think about hell very often unless maybe someone is dying. It's not a part of the public discourse. So how have people reacted to you as you've shared this, because I know you well enough to know that you have a deliverance ministry. You've traveled in various parts of the world where you're more apt to see demonic displays. Now, we have them here, but we don't necessarily identify them as such. So how have people responded to this story? Do they believe you? Do they mock you? What happens?
Well, they sometimes, in person, they may mock the actual story, but what they don't often mock is what happened at the end of the story. And I agree with you that it was probably a vision. Was I physically there? Probably not. I was probably still in my room, but the Lord took my spirit, my soul, down there, and what I saw. And so they have mocked me. I've lost friends over it. I've had national church leaders in England sit me down and correct me and said what I saw was not from the Lord and that I was wrong. But what I experienced and what I felt at the end of this vision has it's kept me when all my other friends, or many of my friends and church leaders, national church leaders in England, have not only started to say that hell is no longer eternal, it never was eternal, but hell doesn't exist and that this is our hell. So in the dream, when the demon, he tied us up with these chains, he whipped us over the arm, and I didn't think anything of it. It didn't really hurt. And then I was looking at one of the guys talking to him and saying, hell isn't that big a deal, is it? I mean, is this it? All of a sudden, I felt a huge snap and my shoulder broke and my arm just crumpled. And I remember panicking, like sheer panic. And I looked at the demon who I was mocking just minutes before, and his voice changed. And he changed his voice so dramatically. And he said to me, "You're never leaving." I looked up at him and he pulled the chain back to hit me again. And all of a sudden I looked around and I saw the smoke clear. And I saw thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of these other mountains with people on there suffering and being punished and tormented. And I remember I woke up out of my dream. Out of my sleep, I jumped out. It's like I came back to my body. I jumped out of my bed and I dived on the floor and I cried out to God and said, "God, God, I will preach your gospel. I will preach and I will warn on hell for as long as I live. Please don't let anyone go there. If they go there, let them go jumping over my body as I cling to them. Let no one go to hell." And it was and all I heard when I woke up was the screams of "You're never leaving," and just the sheer terror of being in hell forever and ever. Even though I came back and I was born again, and that there was no fear of me going to hell, I experienced for a split second eternity in hell without Jesus, without God, without his presence, without peace, without light, without water, without joy. And it was excruciating. And it kind of set my life on a course that like Bill Wisey, I started seeking out the scriptures. I wanted to see that if this was really from the Lord. I mean, I knew it was, but I had to be sure. And I started reading the scriptures, and the scriptures on the topic started coming alive. And I've preached on the topic many times. A pastor friend of mine in England who oversees a large church network, he once said to me, "Stephen, you preach on hell too much." And I said to him, "You've only ever heard me speak on it for three times. How is that too much?" And I was part of a national network in England, and they sat me down and told me to be quiet because I preached on hell. Now, I like what Reinhard Bonnke said. He said that you threaten your enemies, but you warn your friends. And so I warned on hell, that the dangers of it. And in the 1800s, Charles Taze Russell, who founded the Jehovah's Witnesses, he started saying that a loving God surely would never send anybody to hell. And that seems to be the prevalent message today. But the dangers of preaching that there is no hell, for someone like me, I was a sinner and I was good at it. I was a professional sinner. I knew that when
that's a funny way to put it.
And when I got saved, I knew that God rescued me. He saved me from hell and he saved me to himself. From and to. It's not one or the other. It's not just to and it's not just from. And so God really rescued me from an eternity in hell. And that's what really radically changed my life. And I've been preaching that ever since, that God saves you from his wrath and he saves you to himself and to his heart.
Well, that's an interesting story. You're an interesting person to me. We have had quite a few experiences together, including in England, one time when I made a presentation of the Modern English Version to Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You were involved with that and a lot of other ways. But talk to me about the theology. I referred to this earlier. Standard evangelical theology, of course, is we believe the Word of God, and the Word of God talks about heaven and hell. It talks about heaven in a somewhat symbolic way as well. There's no single chapter on that. But if so, it's evangelically incorrect to say there's no hell. But a lot of people live as if there's none, or they ignore it entirely. But recently, I have noticed certain theologians floating these ideas. A couple of prominent evangelical theologians, I could name names. I haven't really researched it well enough to be specific, but they'll say that it's symbolic, or they'll say that people will be in hell only for a certain amount of time, or they'll say that hell is just separation from God. What do you think? And what do you think is happening in the church?
Well, I believe there's a shift in regards to evangelism, and this is why. Here's the deal. If hell is real and people are not evangelizing and warning people and rescuing people from hell, then the people don't truly love those that they're doing life with. If I love someone, I will warn them about the existence of hell. We've gotten lazy with evangelism. We've stopped evangelizing as a church. We've become missional, or we have these key buzzwords. We don't preach the gospel. We don't preach on repentance. We don't preach on faith toward God the way that we used to. And so if hell is real, we have to preach. But if we don't preach, then our conscience starts getting convicted. And so we have to do something about it. Either we start preaching the gospel or we change doctrine. If we change doctrine about there being an eternal hell, then we can carry on living our lives the way we always lived it. And we see that worldliness and sin is creeping into the church, and people are doing the things that they're doing, and we're not addressing these things. We started preaching a doctrine of once saved, always saved, which I don't believe. I believe in the eternal security of the believer. I believe that if I give my life to Jesus, then I will always be saved because I'm faithful and I'm faithfully His. But I don't believe that just because you say you're saved means that you are safe, and that's the difference. So one thing that's happened in the church is that we've started changing the doctrine in regards to hell. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, He talks about those who will die without Him, that they will have eternal torment, eternal punishment. And that's the difference, that it's not just dying and then ceasing to exist like the Jehovah's Witnesses preach. Because as I was saying earlier, I was such a good sinner. Why would I ever get saved if I just cease to exist when I die? I will continue living my life and I will know nothing, because when I die, I just cease to exist. What does it matter? Why would I ever turn my life around? I don't need the love of God. I never particularly liked the love of God. I didn't know who God was. Why would I want Him if there was no punishment for my wrongdoing? But the gospel is that Jesus came and He forgave us our sins, and that He rescued us and He redeemed us and He saved us from the punishment that was put upon us, that we put upon ourselves, and Jesus became a punishment for us. So in a nutshell, if we say that there's a hell, then we must preach the gospel.
That's very interesting, and I know people will want to be in touch with you and your ministry, so tell me and my listeners how they can find out more about Stephen Halford and your ministry, and maybe even more information about what you're talking about.
Sure. So my website is stephenhalford.com, Stephen with a V. So stephenhalford.com. My last name is Halford, which is funny because in South America, I was preaching once and the fire of God fell in a meeting, and my friends after that nicknamed me Hellfire because it rhymes, it kind of sounds like Halford. And it kind of stuck with me. And actually on my birth certificate, it for some reason, it has Psalm 18 verse 8, I think it is. And it talks about how smoke went out of the father's nostrils. I have no idea why it was written on my birth certificate, but it's there for everyone to see. And it's like God's hand was upon me when it come to fire, when it come to hellfire, and to warn people of the existence of this place. And, you know, God gave me this experience because He knew that one day I was going to have to stand up for the truth found in His word in regards to this, whether it's in the book of Revelation, when people who are thrown into the lake of fire, including the false prophet who was a man, so he was in the lake of fire forever and ever, whether it's when Jesus talks about eternal torment in Matthew 25, verse 46, it's important. There's two words for eternal, eon and eonios. Eon could mean an age, could mean universe. Eonios means forever and ever and ever, is where the word eon comes from. And that's the word Jesus references in Matthew 25, 46. So there's a whole doctrine in regards to this. I don't just preach on hell. I preach the gospel, baptism in the Holy Spirit. We lay hands on the sick, they recover. We cast demons out of people, and we see the broken are set free. You know, we see the lame walk, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Any other gospel that has no power is no gospel at all. And that's the gospel that I come to present, and people will push against it. The religious leaders of the day will press against it, I think partly because of jealousy, but you follow the fruit. Is there fruit that remains in someone's life? If I preach a message of repentance from sin, and I occasionally preach on hell, not always, but occasionally, but 10 years down the road, these people are still serving God and making disciples themselves, businessmen, businesswomen, then I would say, look at the fruit. If there's fruit, then you should probably listen to the message of the person.
Very well said, and that's a good place to leave it. I just you know, appreciate you, appreciate your ministry, and I'm glad that you were able to take time to come into the podcast studio and record what has to be one of the most interesting podcasts I've ever done. I encourage my listeners to share this with others. There's a lot of people that are interested in this, people who maybe want to understand it more. Maybe they've heard things that are controversial and they didn't really know how to deal with them. So share this podcast, and as you do, that gets more listeners to the Strang Report. Also, you can go on iTunes and give us a good review. Because of people like you coming back every day to hear a new podcast, we just passed, about a week ago, 8 million downloads. So that's quite a milestone. And so with that, I'll wrap up this edition of the Strang Report. Thank you for listening on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.